We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, segment number 3 coming your way next as we talk with Shepherd's Crossing officials. We've got a couple of them here. Beth Klug, Executive Director. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
And C. Clyde Jones joining us as well. Good morning, Clyde.
Well, good morning to you, Brandon. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's always our pleasure. We enjoy having you guys on, and it's good timing, really, because February is Sharing with the Shepherd Month, and Clyde, I know you're going to talk to us more about that here this segment.
Yes, sir. That's one of our big annual events, and I'm very eager to tell you about it.
Well, how's I know this has been something that's been going on for a long time. How's it different this year?
Well, it really isn't different this year from the last 10 or 12 years. But it's very different from when it started in 2003. Let me back up a little bit and tell you that Shepherd's Crossing started operating in 2001, and our board of directors at that time consisted of any church representative who wanted to come to the meeting. And it was kind of fun because you never had the same group of directors present, and decision making was kind of flexible, and bylaws, structure of any kind, except that we did have usually a local minister who chaired the meetings, and we had a board meeting every month. And in 2003. A couple of the ladies whose names would really resonate with many of your listeners, Adina Hanna and Shirley Bramhall, were church reps at that time. And they came up with the idea of sharing with the shepherd on Valentine's Day. And the biggest difference now is that we limited it at that time to February 14th. And we ask all florists, restaurants, and jewelry stores to dedicate a percent of their, well, we actually said a percent of your profits to Shepherd's Crossing. And this, of course, was kind of a hard sell, but these two women went around and called on each of the businesses and encouraged them. And of course, we promised that we would tell all of our members donors and everybody associated with Shepherd's Crossing to patronize those particular businesses. And I think at the time we had maybe 8 or 10 who agreed to support us. And that first year, I think the total proceeds were around $2,300. In other words, a very small amount of money. But at that time, our budget was operating at probably $60,000-$70,000 a year. So the $2,300 was a very important amount of money for us. Well, Paul Fleener and Shirley Fleener came with us in 2002 as volunteer co-directors. And Paul was a very highly organized and business-like guy with a Farm Bureau background. And he immediately said, hey, we need to expand that sharing with the shepherd and have it not be just for jewelers and restaurants and florists, but to any business in Manhattan that would be willing to support us. So we made two changes. We actually lettered appeal to everybody, and we made the entire month of February Sharing with the Shepherd Month. And I think Beth will agree that now there's usually many thousands of dollars that come in. We send out a letter in December reminding folks that we'd love to have you support us in February. But if you want to start now, that's fine too.
Well, very good. It's such a nice tie-in, I think, too. And maybe more so this year than ever, because it encourages not only giving back to a great organization like Shepherd's Crossing, but also shopping local.
it is indeed local. And I can tell you, and I'm going to ask Beth to speak directly to this, that we've never been in greater need of funding than we are right now. The impact of COVID-19, the pandemic on us, has just been enormous. And I'd like Beth to tell us about that now, if she would.
Sure, absolutely. So today we've noticed lots of changes. The need is just unbelievable, and what people need is tremendous. One of the biggest changes is the makeup of our clients. Approximately 50% of our clients now are brand new to Shepherd's Crossing. So they've never come in our door before. And many are very leery and nervous and really hesitant and reluctant to come to us. They've never had to ask for assistance of any kind before. And they come really not knowing what to expect. And that's 50% of our clients right now are brand new. So it's been a real blessing to get to meet with these folks, and our volunteers do such an amazing job letting them know that they're not alone, that the community, the nation as a whole has been really hit by COVID-19, and everyone's struggling, or a lot of folks are struggling. And so as a result, it's really hard, you know, really uplifting to see these folks leave with tears in their eyes, streaming down their face, not with sadness, but just with thankfulness that they were treated respectfully and kindly by really the best set of volunteers in town, I think, who meet with them and counsel them and really help them, not only with some financial assistance for rent, utilities, and prescriptions, but also with referrals to other agencies for additional help, for help finding jobs, for help finding daycare, whatever the case may be. So that's the biggest thing. I'd say the next huge impact has been collaboration with other agencies throughout the community. We've always been a community that works really well together, all of the agencies, but I think COVID-19 has really brought all of us together to collaborate, whether it be on safety concerns, how to best disinfect and operate safely, or whether it's through programs like the GMCF COVID relief funds, which really have helped us and our clients in a very meaningful way, as well as our partnering agencies and the outreach that we've had with donors and churches, really coming together to help us help our clients. But the need has just really been heart-wrenching to see how it's affected families and individuals alike.
Well, and you know, I think a lot of listeners probably have a perception of who your clients are that are coming out here. But as you mentioned, it's grown a lot more. You have a lot more new people coming out there. This is not just people who've struggled in the past. This may be people who they're new to this. They haven't experienced this kind of pandemic related stuff before.
That's exactly right. You know, we've had families come in, maybe family of five. Dad was furloughed for a period of time. Mom continued to work, and then she got laid off in June. They needed help with rent and utilities. Because of that, we were able to help. They left teary-eyed. Also sent them with job opportunities to apply for, help with filling out a Raising Riley application, talked to them about applying at the Flint Hills Breadbasket and getting signed up for food assistance or Common Table, Harvester's distributions. So we try to really help and partner with our other agencies to really help clients in a number of ways. It's also hit the single mom who's never had to ask for help because she's had a good job. Had a sweet mom with three kids, all school age. She was working full-time, doing great. But because kids were home for a period of time and then were doing hybrid, she had to quit her job to be at home to help school the kids. So definitely thankful that she had a place to come and get some assistance.
You know, and we have such a transient community here. I know myself, being not originally from Manhattan, I've lived here for a couple of years now, but you know, most of my family lives out of town, and I imagine there's a lot of people like myself that can't just go ask for help, you know, from a family member here in town. And these services can be very beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we try to do. If there's something we can't do, we try to direct them to the organization or agency that can. But yeah, a lot of families are here without extended family in the area. So we try to fill some voids for sure, and try to do so with a compassionate and patient ear.
Yeah, we're speaking to Shepherd's Crossing guests here, Beth Klug and C. Clyde Jones. It is sharing with the Shepherd Month. We got to take a quick break here. It's 9:45. We'll go ahead and do that now and come back and talk a little bit more about the month of February, and also the 20th anniversary of Shepherd's Crossing coming up. We'll do that in the next segment. Stay tuned, and Focus continues after this.